thereof. This is Earth Day. Yay! And everything on this planet is the Lord's. Everything, the rocks and the dirt and the sand that blows, as well as the plants and the trees and the birds and the fish, everything. So today we are going to be grateful for the goodness of this earth, this planet that we live on. So with that in mind, would you have that be the theme for today's worship? Now the question is, what are you doing up there, Judy? We thought you weren't going to be up there today. Well, I'm not up here. It's going to be Bruce, okay? Because I was not sure that the eye surgery would allow me to be able to read and follow my own directions today. So Bruce will be leading worship, and God is good, and we are grateful for the goodness that God has given us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see all of you here today. I would ask that our visitors, if you wouldn't mind raising your hand so everybody can look around and see. We've got someone over here and back there. And be sure and greet our visitors this morning. We certainly hope you come back. Glad to see you here. We also would like to remind you about the registration pads that start on this side and jump over the aisle and go to the other side. And there are some blue slips in the back of the pews if you have a celebration or if you have a prayer concern. If you would fill those out, and the ushers would pick those up at the first hymn. And I believe that Dick Richards has an announcement. Dick? And Skip is passing out a little bit of greenery to everyone this morning that will be part of our service. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you. Would you please rise and join me in the opening words? In the name of the Creator, the fountain of life, in the name of Christ, the pulse of life, and in the name of the Spirit, the breath of life. Amen.
Holy, 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 earth is filled with God's presence.
Christ, we come into your presence to worship in this sanctuary called Earth, a planet pulsating with your presence, a presence
quivering in the forests, a presence vibrating in the land,
a presence pulsating in the wilderness, a presence shimmering in the rivers. God, reveal yourself to us in this place and show us your face in all creation.
Holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with your glory.
And now you may be seated. Join me in the call to worship. We invite the forest to worship with us. The pinyon, the spruce, the quaking aspen, and scrub oak. We invite tall trees to celebrate life, to lift green leaves in the breeze and sing their oxygen into the air. We call to the forest to sing in the night. Geckos and timid moss, butterflies and swirling hats. We join with the fauna of the forest in praising God. Stellar jays and hummingbirds, creeping things and butterflies. We celebrate the song of the forest. Sing, forest, sing.
And if the children would go in the back and they have some plants and some evergreens. Thank you. And if they will come around during the singing of this hymn and place their objects before the altar, and after the service they can come up and take their flowers home with them and plant them. Okay.
Please rise. We will sing together hymn 145, Morning Has Broken.
And now you should all have a piece of a small green plant to help you remind each other of our worship. And let's join together in the confession. We remember the first garden where God planted a forest of trees. We remember with awe and wonder the gift of this planet blessed with trees. We remember the gardens and the forest of our childhood, the places where we played in the past, where we felt close to earth, to trees, and to our kin born of earth. Christ, crucified on a tree, hear our cry. We regret that we have become alienated from earth and have treated this garden as a beast to be tamed, as a domain to be dominated, and as a place to be ruled by our gain. We remember and confess how we have violated and polluted the forest in our garden's past. Planet, we are very sorry. We have ignored the distant sounds in the forest, the sound of the chainsaws clearing for greed and gain, the sound of those old forest giants falling forever, the sound of rare species breathing their last. We are sorry. We are sorry.
Christ hears your confession from the cross, forgives your sins against the forest, and calls you now to open your ears and your hearts to serve and protect, rather than to destroy our forest, the trees God has planted for life and wonder. Christ, teach us to love earth as our home and all living creatures as our kin. Help us to return home to earth. I speak for Christ. I invite you to come home to earth, and I call you to care for this planet with love, to nurture the forest as I have nurtured you, and to join me in healing creation. Shalom, shalom, we are coming home. As we come home to earth, Christ have mercy, as we seek to love our home. Christ have mercy, as we seek to care for our kin. Christ have mercy. Let us pray. God, our Creator, whose glory fills our planet, help us to discern your vibrant presence among us and our kin in creation, especially in the mysteries of the forest. Help us to empathize with your creatures who are suffering and to serve you as agents for healing your creation. In the name of Christ, who reconciles and restores all things in creation. Amen. If the children could come up for the children's message.
Good. Has anybody ever heard of a person in the Bible named Noah? What did Noah do? What was important about Noah? What did he build? An ark. A huge, huge, huge ark. Why did it have to be so big? I want to tell you a story, okay? Not just about Noah and his sons that were on there and their wives, but guess what? They had children that were with the ark. So I want to tell you a little story this morning about that. One particular legend has it that they also had children that came with them on the ark. Although the Bible isn't clear on this, this story takes place with the youngest son of Ham, Noah Jr., who was named after his grandfather, of course. As you can imagine, building an ark was real, real hard work. Everyone worked hard in building the ark, but you know the kids probably worked the hardest. They did all the manual labor, okay? They went and hauled all the wood and went out and got all the supplies, and the parents did the cool stuff, like did all the measuring and sawing and hammering, and even through the time it started raining. And then the kids, guess what? Had to clean all the stalls. Can you imagine how much food it is? Goodness gracious. I mean, you know, the little rabbits wasn't bad, but those elephants. Man. Yeah. I mean, I just cleaned my horse's stalls. Anyway, y'all almost come help me with that sometimes. So anyway, the other thing they had to do is they're the ones to make sure that all the animals were clean, and they're the ones that made sure that the wolves didn't eat the rabbits, and the tigers didn't have llamas for lunch. So, but all the kids on the ark, none took the responsibility more serious than Noah Jr. Noah Jr. was kind of a special kid. He loved animals more than all the other kids did. He wanted to grow up and become a zoologist or a zookeeper or anything to take care of animals all on his own. So seeing this, the adults gave Noah Jr. a great deal of responsibility, about the biggest responsibility. On the day that the flood started, Noah Jr. was given the incredible responsibility of making sure all the animals were safely on the ark. With a clipboard and a pen, he would check off all the animals that arrived. Llamas, too, check. Aardvarks, too, check. Emus, check. When he thought he was all set, he took his clipboard to his grandfather and said they were ready. But Noah Sr. scanned the list and looked it over and said, I think you're missing the most important ones. With a smile, he handed the clipboard back to Noah Jr. Well, the rain and the water was coming up fast. So he really panicked and he scrambled back to all the cages, started going over them again. Penguins, too, check. Sloths, check. Giraffes, keep going over his list. After a while, he was convinced that his grandfather was wrong and went back with the clipboard. Grandpa, are you sure? Please check this one more time. He looked at it and said, yes, I'm sure. You're missing the most important pair. No, tall boy. He immediately went back to his inventory. Hippos, check. Ducks, check. Panda bears, too, check. He just couldn't for the life of him figure out what he had missed. He started to worry that his grandfather maybe had gone crazy like all the townspeople. He watched the rain grow heavier and heavier. Finally, in a panic and tears coming from the stress, he ran back to Noah Sr. and asked for help. Noah Sr., in a kind and loving voice, smiled at the boy. I'm not crazy. You have indeed forgotten the most important of all. But I will tell you, your time is getting short. And do you know what was forgotten on the ark? With the squirm firmly in hand, I raised the worms. They had forgotten the earthworms. So in a panic, the boy dashed down the gangplank of the ark. He reached down to the wet grass and started digging. Finally, he scooped up some dirt and mud with a handful of worms and dashed back into the ark. When he made it on board, and the ark was locked up, and the worms were safely stowed away. That's what I brought this morning. Earthworms. Earthworms. Yeah. I think it's good. I mean, you may need one. So let me get back to the story here. So after a while, the boy went to his grandfather and asked, why are those worms the most important? Noah, his granddad, just smiled at him and said simply, I don't know why they are so important. That is between God and the worms. But what do y'all think? Well, I think that he found out that the worms helped till the soil and make the soil rich so the plants will grow. If we don't have plants, how can the animals live without anything to eat? So we then make the soil rich and the plants grow, and then the animals eat even the plants. So that's pretty important, isn't it? So they can stay healthy. That's right. So this is about responsibility that God started giving children even way back there. Now whose responsibility is it today? No, it's all of you. Yes, to take care of all the animals and even the earthworms. God. God passes that right on to y'all, gives you your responsibility. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these wonderful gifts and blessings that you have given us, especially up here on the mountain, Lord, where we are so rich with nature. Among these many gifts today, we celebrate the gift of our world and the planet. Help us to realize that all there is to enjoy around us, and help us to see how everything, including these children, are precious in your eyes. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I'd like to sing a song during offering. It's called You Are Mine. It is in our black hymnal. But as God is your creator, he also knows every one of your names. And you are his. It's in 22:18, if you'd like to sing along or follow along, whatever. Oh, pardon? Oh, the offertory. Jane's going to pray first.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another absolutely spectacular day on our mountain. We're hoping for some rain, and we hope that all of the people in our congregations open their hearts to give the love offering that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice, I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be a light, come and rest in me. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am strength for all the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am strength for the despairing, for the peace the world can give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now and walk and live. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine.
Several prayer needs here this morning, and the first is Mike and Rebecca Ingalls say that their longtime friend Joey Heineman's daughter Courtney has stage 4 melanoma cancer, and she has 2 children. So for the Heinemans and for Courtney and for the little children, Lord, in your mercy. Rebecca Engel asks that you pray for Mike. He's having a lot of problems with neck issues that are causing some major headaches. So for Mike, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Barbara Armstrong is reminding us that Jim Jackson is going in for colon cancer surgery on Thursday. And Jim, our prayers will have you covered. You can count on it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And on Monday, Judy Hadfield is going in for breast cancer surgery. So Judy, where are you? There you are. Jim and Judy, right here. Our prayers are with you, Judy, and you are covered in the love and care of this congregation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Jackie Maxson is going to have surgery for her second cochlear implant, and that surgery is going to be on Wednesday. So it sounds to me like y'all better be praying this week. We got people that need you. So for Jackie, we pray, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Leora Wright asks you to pray for her daddy, Clark. It was 1 year ago this Friday that Leora's mama died, and she would like for you to pray for Clark. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Susan Salitis praises the Lord. She is out of the hospital and almost back in action. Now, if I know Susan well enough, I know that she's probably full charge ahead by the rest of our definitions. But for that, we are grateful. And Susan, I see your note here. Is Hans out of the hospital today?
They're going to get him right now.
Okay. All right, because I was going to say we need to pray for him because he's in the hospital. So now he's out of the hospital. But for whatever's been going on in Hans that was the reason for his needing to be taken to the hospital, we need to keep him in our prayers. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. There are also people who are struggling with relationship issues in our church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And I would like to ask you to be in prayer for, I'm trying to buy a house in Lubbock. And if any of y'all have ever tried to get a mortgage, I would ask your prayers on my behalf. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, before you are a band of people who call themselves Christians, who in sometimes messy ways and sometimes in beautifully gorgeous ways, but always trying to find the path to living how you want us to live. And God, one thing that I thank you for on behalf of this church is how much they care for each other. And we've named quite a few going through some tough stuff today. And we come to you on their behalf in an intimate, pleading way to show yourself in acts of mercy and to show yourself in such a way that it's clear that you are walking with them. And thank you that one of the big teachings that we get from your scripture from the front page to the last is that you promise to be with us always. Always means always. And God, thank you that one of the ways that you are with us is through the ways that somebody in this worshiping community gives us a hug or looks us in the eye and says, I'll pray for you, or brings food or whatever. Lord, thank you for the many ways that you are present through each of us to the needs of others. Holy God, we bring to you also on this day of recognition of the 50th anniversary of this denomination called United Methodists. We thank you for the amazing work that the United Methodist Church has done on behalf of civil rights, on behalf of disaster relief, on behalf of all manners of issues of poverty and of access and caring for those who many want to overlook and disregard. And God, we just pray that somehow in the decisions that will be being made in the weeks and months ahead, that you will be glorified and the good intent of the people called Methodists will continue. And now, God, we pray for ourselves. It's so easy to pray for others. We need to remember to pray for ourselves. So now in the silence, will each of you pray for those things that are stirring in your life? And so we come to rest the loads that we are carrying with you, and we're going to lay them at your feet and trust that you will tend to them in the way that is best for each of us. As together we continue praying, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now will you turn in your hymnal to page number 147, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you.
Peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, finish this sentence for me. Only you can prevent
forest fires.
Okay, I can tell your age. Because it's been changed to wildfires. Okay, I'd have said forest fires too. And who said that? Smokey Bear. That's right. Of course. And of course, Smokey Bear came from our own Lincoln Forest, right? Lincoln National Forest. Smokey would be celebrating his 74th birthday this year. So that really tells your age if you were there. He'd be celebrating it on August 9th of this year. So next year, his 75th birthday. He was found near Capitan. I'm sure you remember that because that's where he's buried if you've gone to his museum. And he was flown from Santa Fe to Washington, D.C., where he lived out his life in comfort at the zoo, at the National Zoo. So Earth Day is celebrated today in most of the world except Alamogordo. In Alamogordo, it's celebrated next week.
Well, it's celebrated.
So, but we're also celebrating Creation Sunday today. So I thought it might be appropriate to remember and celebrate the forest that we worship in and that we, a lot of us live in, and the mountains that God has created and he's given to us to work in, to live in, to recreate in. And let's read that beautiful creation story that's found in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1, starting at verse 1, and that first chapter. I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard Version because that's what I do. But you can read from the NIV because that's what's in your pew. It's okay. We can still get along. And, you know, it's written like a poem. And so as you're reading it, I'd like you to look at the days of creation. And how they're like a couplet. And the first day talks about the same day as the fourth day, the same things. And the second day is like the fifth day. And the third day is like the sixth day. You ever notice that when you're reading the creation story? So let's read those days. And also the theme, it's all created good. So in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and the darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with seed in it. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give them light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground and every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and upon every living thing that moves upon the earth. Everything was good. Word of God, word of life, is what we say. The verses that I just read are a poem. Not a history lesson. It's telling us who our Creator is. God. He created everything. He created us. He created every living thing. He created the mountains, the seas, the sky, the universe. And he created all of it good. And he hasn't stopped creating. There's still birth. Things are still made new every day. Thank God. And he lets us use it. I didn't read anywhere in this passage that he gave up possession of it. You know, these mountains are his. We like to say there are mountains. I hear that a lot. And we like to take possession of these mountains. But if you saw a tag on it, it would say, owner, God. They're his. These trees are his. this soil, these animals, from those that can't protect themselves to the mightiest of these animals, to the mountain lion, to the sheep. Our gospel lesson today is very familiar also. For God so loved the world. Hey, you knew that too. You guys are creations of God. God loves the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, his only child, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You know, God loves his world. And what does that word world mean? Does it mean just humans? Or does it mean his creation? It means his creation. He loves everything that he has created. Everything. His people, his bears, his Smokey, all of his animals, the trees, the lakes, the streams, the groundwater, clean skies, everything that is his, he loves. And he sent Jesus into the world to save that which was lost, that which sin had destroyed. He sent Jesus there to save it all. Sort of like the song we just sang, right? And I loved how Esther played it. It was beautiful also. Thank you, Esther. So let's say it again. God so loved the world. That's right. You know, where people sometimes have had problems is with that word dominion, thinking that God has handed over the keys and said, go for it. It's yours now. He hasn't given up anything. He still owns everything, including us. These bodies are his. He owns everything. And what he wants of us as people who have dominion is to be stewards and managers over his world. You know, we have lots of stories where Jesus talks about stewards and how he gives the steward dominion over his land, and he expects him to take good care of his things. And then he comes back and says, well, what have you done with my stuff? So the dominion means an overseer. And you know, most of the time, we people do a pretty good job of overseeing. You know, I see a lot of people taking good care of the land that they have been given. I see, you know, people cleaning up the roads and taking care of bushes and around the mountain. We do a good job of managing most of the time, but sometimes, you know, we get it wrong. I remember hearing stories of the Dust Bowl and, you know, the severe drought that we had. And my mom and dad lived in the Dust Bowl, and they lived in Nebraska. And they lost their land. And farmers didn't know the correct way of farming before the Dust Bowl. And they would plant the same crops over and over and over again on the same acres of land, which wasn't good for the land. And so finally we got it figured out, you know, that we need to rotate our crops and we need to leave the land fallow every so once in a while. You know, every other year we need to leave it fallow. So sometimes we figure it out as people, as managers. But you know, sometimes we're actually pretty arrogant with the land. And we think it's ours, and so we can do whatever we want with it. And we certainly don't agree all the time over what good management practices mean. What do you mean logging can't be done? It's just a stupid owl. They have plenty of other habitat. Aren't people's livelihoods more important than animals? And it's certainly more important that we're keeping the forests, you know, they're too dense. Those are my water rights. Shouldn't I be able to go anywhere I want? It's public land, after all. Maybe you've heard some of these arguments. Maybe you've made the arguments either way. We get mad at each other. I don't have all the answers. Do you have all the answers? Being good managers means being good listeners to one another and to God. What does he say about his creation? How does he want it managed? You know, we used to think that all forest fires had to be put out. And then we came to discover that, no, they don't. You know, that was God's way of replenishing the forest. You know, without a forest fire, pinyon tree couldn't release its seeds and start anew. You know, my mom had a pasture, and when it burned, we thought, oh, this is terrible. And the next year, when it started coming up, that was the best pasture she had ever had. And Dick reminded me, you know, the symbol that the Methodists have, we all have with the flame against the cross. We had to have that fire in our hearts to get things moving and fire under us. The Forest Service conducts, you know, the Forest Service has controlled burns. You know, and it doesn't mean that we don't take Smokey's message to heart. You know, I hear from my hiker friend, Judy. You still awake there, Judy? She tells me all the time that she finds campfires that are still smoldering, or a cigarette butt that isn't put out, that she has to put out those kinds of things, her and her hiking friends. Some people have the attitude that God has given them permission to do anything they want on the earth. We forget whose forest it really is. We're caretakers, we're gardeners. You know, the theme for this year's Earth Day is plastic. Remember The Graduate? One guy told Dustin Hoffman's character, there's one word for you, plastic. And that's the word for today. Only now, reduce, reuse, and recycle. So when you're out camping, don't take a plastic bottle that's going to be thrown away. Take one that you can reuse and reuse, and maybe don't use as many plastic straws. Ask your restaurant to go back to You know, when I was a little kid, we used paper straws. And,
kill a tree.
Well, at least those are used by farmers to grow trees, and they can be recycled. So, anyway, so use less plastic is the story for today. So you were given a piece of cilantro in your hand to remind you of greenery. It had a little bit of aroma when it was bought yesterday. I don't know if it still does today. To remind you of the creation that was created good, and even though sin came into the world, God loved his world so much that he gave his only child to be made whole and good again. So, happy Earth Day. Go out and enjoy it. Amen.
Please rise for hymn 210. Toda la tierra, all earth is waiting.
Again, but we're going to sing just the first verse, and we're going to sing in Spanish. All right, Toda la tierra, we can do that. It's very phonetic. Okay,
we're singing 210 again.
Yes, 210 again, just the first verse, and we'll sing it in Spanish. All right, let's do it. You're going to go from this place, and today and this week, let's find a way to love this earth that God has given us in some kind of special way. Pick up some trash, plant a plant this week, whatever. You figure out your way. Listen to the earth and let it speak to you this week. Go in God's peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, girls.
We'll do verse 1 and chorus of He Lives 3:10.